The following message is a personal testimony of Abnam Shore.
Well, shalom to you, everybody. Shalom in Hebrew means hello, peace, and goodbye. My name, as been stated, is Abnam Shore. You have to take a little pause in my between the first and second name, which reminds me about 9.5 years ago when I came to this country. We were eating dinner, and a lady that was conducting a survey called, and she said that I would like to speak to the men of the house. And I said, well, this is he, ma'am. And she said, what is your name, sir? I said, Abnam Shore. And she said, what do you mean you're not sure? Well, you can find Amnon in 2 Samuel 3, verse 2. He was the first son of King David. I was born and raised in the land of Israel to a father by the name of Judah, my mother named Shulamite, grandfather on one side is Zechariah, on the other side is Obadiah. An Orthodox family that came back against all odds, 1929, back to the land. It was not even Israel yet. It was under the British control. But they had love for over 2,000 years for this place, and they never forgot it. As the psalm says, that if I forget you, Jerusalem, forget my right hand. And being raised in an Orthodox family, I want you to know, as a Jewish fella, it's a lot of responsibility on my grandfather's part, my father's, and myself as well. My father was teaching us the Holy Scripture as he was taught. On Saturday morning when we come back from the synagogue, we sit down and read the verses and the chapter for next weekend to read. Next Sabbath. I was born in a city that's called Netanya. It's about 300 yards from the Mediterranean Ocean. It's about 20 miles north of Tel Aviv. And on the Sabbath morning, after the prayer in the synagogue, as kids with my parents and all the kids in the neighborhood would go to the beach. So it comes about 10:30 in the morning, and we're reading the scripture. And in the Hebrew text, you have to read the scripture singing, because every Hebrew word in the Old Testament has a musical note to it. So that's how it's sung, and it's been memorized and mesmerized from father to son. My father, for many years, was a diamond cutter. The nickname of this city is the Diamond City. And if you've seen any of those diamond machines, there's a wheel that runs about 4,600 RPM, and there's a belt for about an inch wide and half an inch thick that turns this wheel. And as we're reading the scripture, you know, once in a while, those belts snap. And my father will find a secondary use for them. One of the early recyclers. On my back and on my brother's back. I have an older brother by the name of Gideon. Two younger sister. Comes about 11:30, and when we're ready to go, I already have few marks on my shoulders, or wherever the belt may happen to land. So needless to say, you didn't go off and show on the beach. You just somehow snuck in there and swim a little bit. Reason I'm telling you that, because that's the way that I've been taught the scripture. And the view of God that I had at that time, it was through my father and how I viewed him. That someone that looks the best for me, but every time that I make a mistake, I get smacked. So I started to view God like an old man that's sitting up there on his throne. And every time that you move and make a wrong move, and I thought I should be perfect. And if a Jew tells you, I'm a Jew, well, tell him nobody's perfect. And I didn't like very much this old man up there, as some people call him, that every time you make a mistake, you get smacked. So I started to depart from my father's ways. And at the age of 16, I remember the first time that I took my yarmulke off. Some of you that know what it is, not I put mine on. I used to go and have this all day long. The only time I take it off was when I used to go to sleep. Or take a shower. And I remember that Sabbath morning when I took it off. Mortal sin. Praise the Lord, I'm still alive. The next Sabbath, though, I was even more gutsy. I got into a car. Second mortal sin, to drive a car on the Sabbath, God forbid. And here we go around the neighborhood, and I figure, wow, praise the Lord, I'm still alive. And then I saw my dad. So I hid beneath the dash. I said, if God didn't kill me, he definitely will. At the age of 18, like every boy and girl in Israel, you drafted into the army. My brother was already 6 months in the army, and I just got in. 2.5 years later, I was just about 6 months to go. I said, wow, no war. And if you know anything about the Middle East, I'm sure you do, there's a war there, almost constant. And I said, there's no war, and I'm going to get out. And then the 1973 Yom Kippur War broke. And I found myself in the Sinai front fighting Pharaoh again. There was my brother too. At that time, my mother had all her 6 brothers, 2 boys, and a husband in the front line. We all came back. Some of my unit friends didn't come back. So Israel, for me, it's not just a biblical fairy tale land. For me, it's a father and a mother, grandmother, grandfather, friends, alive and dead, memories of childhood, all those sorts of things. It's not just a point on the map that at the 6 o'clock news, to get the attention, they show it to you. It's a very active place, as we can see that it will be even later, it will be even increased. Well, I got out of the war, and I fell in love with the Sinai Desert. I didn't like the bullets, though, but I liked the Sinai Desert. So I became a tour guide there. And I led people through Jerusalem, Judean Desert, and all the way to the top of Mount Sinai. That was the highlight of the tour. Matter of fact, tomorrow it will be 2 weeks since I returned from leading another tour from here. We went against all odds. People prayed that we will not go. I want you to know it was the safest, and it still is the safest place on the face of the earth. It's God's country. It's safe. And I took the people to Mount Sinai. It was beautiful. It was awesome. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. And then after that, I started to tour the world. And I really fell in love with traveling. So I figured, may as well look for a job that pays me to travel. So I joined the Israeli airline. And I remember one day I was on the reserve. And they called me up and they said, would you like to take a New York flight? I said, sure. Hi, Big Mac. Absolutely. And I remember we were sitting in JFK, October of 1980, and we're just about ready to leave. And everybody is sitting down, and we're about to close the front door. And if you've seen a 747, and I'm sure you all been on one, I was working all the way in the back of the 747, Zone E, called the Outcast Zone. All you find there is smokers and rabbis. And all of a sudden, I see this beautiful young lady walking in. I want you to know I don't see too well. But what have happened is I saw the heads of the guys turning as she passed. And she walked all the way to me. And as she was walking, my heart was pounding and pounding faster and faster. And she handed me the boarding card. And I knew she was an airline employee from the security code. When you have so many enemies, you have to have tight security. And right there, I knew I'm going to marry this girl. I just knew it. I had a big problem. How am I going to tell her that? Well, I asked her for dinner in Tel Aviv. And she agreed. And I want you to know that almost 10 years later, she's still cooking for me. She's a great cook. I remember calling to confirm the dinner. And she said, "Can I bring my mother with me?" I said, "Mother?" I didn't see the other woman. But I figured if I want to marry that girl, I may as well wise up fast. Score as many points as I can with my mother-in-law. So I said, "Sure. I love her." About 3 weeks later, I took a month off and never went back. Sent my resignation by the mail to the airline. I remember it was the Christmas of 1980. Lynette is from Fresno. She was born and raised in the San Joaquin Valley. And she was telling me, "I'm from Fresno." I said, "Well, I know where Fresno is." She said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, I read William Saroyan, The Human Comedy." She looked at me and said, she thought she met a Rhodes Scholar. I just read this guy when I was about 11 years of age. But apparently it made a big impression on her. So we went to Fresno to tell her parents. The way it's customary in my tradition is to ask her hands from her parents, especially from her father. If you know my father-in-law, you better. And they asked me if I will join them to a Christmas service. I said, "Well, sure." I want you to know I've never been to a Christmas service, not just a Christmas service, any service in my whole life. I'm a Jew. I went to a synagogue. We've been raised that Jesus is not for the Jews. That his name in Hebrew is Yeshua. It's not pronounced Yeshua, it's pronounced Yeshu. They take the last letter out, which Yeshua means in the Hebrew language, salvation now, in the present tense. The last letter out, you take it, and it becomes a curse. And we've been taught that Yeshua is in the grave. But I tell you, 2 weeks ago, I stood there. The grave is empty. Praise the Lord. And it says, "He is not here, for he is risen." And I had this tremendous fear from Christianity. We've been prosecuted by so-called Christians for so many years by that name. I'm not going to about to cross that. But I love the girl. I'd go anywhere. Remember, I was in the war. And I remember as I was walking into this church in Fresno, and just about to cross the doorstep there, and I literally thought there's going to be a guillotine that comes down and slices my head wide open And there goes Amnon, slain on the altar of Christianity just because he dared to cross the line, just because he loved the girl. And I walked in there, and the head pastor shook my hand. They told him I'm from Israel. And he said to me, "Shalom." I said, "Oh, thank God he knows Hebrew." That's the only word he knew. But it was enough for me. I want you to know, I went in there and I heard those Christmas bells ringing, and it was fantastic. And people singing. I never heard that before. So as I was walking out, he asked me, "What is your first impression of Christian service?" I said, "Love and joy." I never felt that in my whole life. Well, on St. Valentine's Day, we got married. It's my wife's choice. I didn't know who St. Valentine's was, and I didn't really care. I just wanted to marry the girl. So at that time, we were living in the East Coast. Too cold for a desert boy like me. Came June. I moved to Los Angeles and got into the business of my forefathers, the jewelry and the diamond business. Made money. Isn't that what it's all about? I got the gift too on Mount Sinai. Made money. But I was using the gift to promote my own kingdom, other than God's kingdom. The issue here is not Amnon. The issue is what God is in the center of everyone's life. That's the issue. And as you see, as I was a child, I was starting to depart from God and from my father's way. So naturally, you come to the land of milk and honey, I mean America. And what you do, like the rest of my friends, make money. And I was making money. Before long, I found myself with a wife, three kids, cats, a cat and a dog, and 10 Arabian horses. We ran out of room. So we bought a ranch in Fresno. And we moved to Fresno about 4.5 years later. 4.5 years ago. And one Saturday evening, as I was pursuing the lifelong love of my life, horses, you see, I was out of balance. I didn't have God in my life and didn't want to think about God or anything. I told Lynette, "I'm going to be a millionaire by the age of 40. Are you with me or not?" And I was set to do it. At the age of 32, I was very, very close and dangerous, like a kid in a candy store. Got it all. Worldly, yes. Made it fast. And as I was pursuing this goal of promoting my own kingdom, one Saturday evening I went to a horse seminar in the Paso Robles area at a friend's house. I want you to know, I had no God in my life. God was my business. I was driving my God. I had a Mercedes emblem in the front. I was riding it. Very expensive to maintain. And that Saturday evening, right about midnight, as I was going to bed, the Bible has better accounts than this. As the prophet Ezekiel states that he has been taken by the Spirit, so was I. I just felt the presence of the living God. And he took me by the Spirit back to Mount Sinai. I want you to know, I've been on this mountain so many hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Took many, many people up there in the flesh, but never in the spirit. And as I was seeing this awesome, beautiful, magnificent glory of the Lord, and I said, "What is this God that you want from me? Why me?" And before long it was morning, and as I was driving back home, the same thing all over again. I came home and I told Lynette, "Honey, sit down. Don't think I flipped my cap. I want to share with you what I've seen." She said, "Honey, what's going on?" I said, sit down. Before long, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. We're trying to sort things out. He said, honey, I got kids to send to school in the morning. I got to get a couple hours of sleep. Needless to say, all I got to sleep is about an hour, hour and a half. And in the morning, as I was taking my morning shower and shaved, the same thing again. In the presence of the living God. And there was this voice of the Lord that says, my son, Amnon bar Judah. Read the book of Micah. I want you to know I never read the book of Micah. I knew there was some guy like this. I want you to know, for example, Isaiah 53 is the forbidden chapter for the Jewish people. I remember as a child we get to the prophecies that refer to the Messiah, and the rabbi says, skip. And I say, why? He said, because I said so, and I glance at the stick, and I know better. So I skip. But never settled the question in my mind. And somehow try to satisfy us with other things, with worldly things. And never got quite right down to it. Micah in Hebrew means Micheyahu, who is God, who is like God. And I was running downstairs shouting to my wife, Micha, Micha, Micheyahu. And she said, what's that, honey? I said, never mind. He is God. He is God. She said, what is this? I said, never mind. And I ran downstairs and I had this Bible right down there. The Old and the New Testament. I never saw the New Testament in the Hebrew language in my whole life. I want you to know it's a forbidden. One should die, not open one. How would you feel if Jesus is the Messiah and there's the one single doubt in your mind? As many Jewish people have that. And this doubt comes there, and we crucified it. We all, Jews and Gentiles alike, we crucified him. Wouldn't you feel? Wouldn't you be afraid? Wouldn't you feel guilty? But he's not there to give you guilt. But then with all those stories and superstitions, they're all guilty. They don't want to touch the issue. And I ran downstairs, and I opened the Bible given to me by a Gentile. There's this friend of mine that I met when we moved to Fresno, and he knows so much about Israel and about the Jewish people, about the Bible. Provoked me literally to jealousy. Not to anger, to jealousy. He literally provoked me. How come a Gentile knows more than me? I'm a Jew. The chosen one. And I ran down there and I asked him, would you get me the New Testament, the Hebrew language? He got it. Took him 10 weeks from Jerusalem. He ordered that. And I never opened that for a year and a half. It was sitting on my shelf. Never opened. Ran down there and opened the book of Micah. Micah 5:2 said, and you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, youngest one of all Judah, from you will come a governor and a ruler and his origin of the ancient of all time. And he shall sleep or given up until the time of birth. Birth will come forth and the rest of his brethren of Israel will come back to him. I want you to know I know history. But nothing would convince me intellectually, philosophically, none whatsoever. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that the veil has been torn and my heart was changed instantly. And I went down on my knees, just the Lord and myself, and I said, Lord Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. And be my Lord and Savior. Indwell me, the despised Amnon. And lead me for what you want me to do. And I want you to know that my wife prayed for 7.5 years, faithfully. Last night we were talking with Dave and his wife. And I said, just pray for your son-in-law. She prayed for 7.5 years. I was so oppressive. God forbid. My mother asked me, aren't there enough nice girls in all Israel. That you had to go among the Gentiles like Samson's mother asked him. I said, no, Mom, this one is from the Lord. I always knew it. And I told Annette, and I keep telling her, that, Annie, it's from the Lord. But she faithfully prayed, and I was so oppressive. On Sunday mornings, I would never even get out of bed. And I would provoke her sometimes to an argument. And the holidays that we come to her parents, so I don't have to go to church. I'll play hot and cold, hot and cold. Didn't have quite a base. But by the cornerstone, Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, you have a base. It's a cornerstone. I tell you, as a diamond dealer, I never seen such a magnificent stone in my whole life. Such a beautiful stone. Multifacets. And I've held quite a big ones in my short life, but none like Yeshua, none like Jesus. And the Lord told me that you will go to my nation of Israel and you will tell them about me, Yahweh. I am who I am. And I said, oh no, Lord. I know my people. I'm a stiff neck like the rest of them. I come by it honestly. And I cried my heart before the Lord. And he said like he said to Ezekiel, I put you a stronger, that your forehead head is stronger than theirs. And I'm sending you to a nation that knows the word. Their heart is hardened. As Bob said, I literally took it, and he said, raise your voice like a horn, like a trumpet, like a ram's horn. And I literally do that. And God has been working miracles. Supernaturally, I just will tell you what have happened in the last 3 weeks. All this was, when I came to know the Lord, was in April of 88. When we went to Israel on the airplane, two of the ladies that were in our group said, I'm not coming here, there's a couple here from Israel. I looked at the card and I figured they're not Jewish. They must be Arabs. They're either Muslims or nominal Christians, I would say, like Catholics or Greek Orthodox. That's what you find there, basically. And I went and talked to them. They are Catholics. And I asked them, if you die tonight, where are you going to go, Tony? I don't know. Maybe. He said, well, I'm a Catholic. They told us we're going to go to heaven. I said, no. Do you know Jesus? He was born in Bethlehem. And his wife, too. They have a big store. They sell everything that you want about Jesus. They sell. Make a long story short, about an hour later, Tony and his wife, Paulette, accepted Jesus on the airplane. They are Palestinians. I want you to know, there isn't Palestinians in the eyes of the Lord. He wants them all. One evening, we had a free evening from the tour, and I went down to visit my family. My parents came, my brother, and my younger sister. And I told my brother Gideon, so what do you say about Yeshua? He says, brother, I'm having a hard time smoking. I said, well, are you ready? He said, yes. I led Gideon to the Lord that evening, and then about an hour later, my younger sister. About 2 months ago, the other sister that moved to the U.S. about a year ago, She didn't want to speak to me after I became a believer for about a year. She said, definitely you have joined in a cult. Gentiles are paying you millions of dollars to say that. I said, I wish, I'm broke. She said, don't call me. You're going to bring a shame on the family. Well, I sent her a cassette. I figured I talk better than all right anyway. Explaining to them the whole system of sacrifice from the Old Testament and how Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. 2 months ago, she calls me. She said, honey, something wrong with my baby. She got pregnant. She was about 8 months along. I said, there's nothing wrong with your baby. I said, Lynette, get on the other line, honey. We'll pray for her. We prayed for her. I take you back a little bit. She came to visit us last Thanksgiving. And she said to me, well, feed me small doses because I have an open mind. I said, well, praise the Lord. Let's go to the heart now. So 10 months later or so, 8 months later, I take it back. That's when she called. The next evening I called her up. She's laying down in the Seattle hospital. And I asked her if she's ready to accept Yeshua, and she said yes. We led her on the telephone, laying down to the Lord. 2 days later, she said that they found that her baby has a Down syndrome. I said, no, honey. Your baby has an Up syndrome. She said, oh, you with your cynical sense of humor. She started to cry and laugh. I said, no, he's going to be with the Lord. Give him a Hebrew name. And she did. A week later, the baby died. And God has been using her mightily already to witness among the Israelis and non-Israelis, the Jews and non-Jews. I wanted to talk on fire, about fire, because you are firemen, actually. Never got to it, and we're running out of time, very, very close. But I want to illustrate something. You have to remember, there's two types of fire. There's the strange fire, and there's the holy fire. And to contain fire, sometimes as a fireman, you have to start another fire. Isn't that so? So make sure that you have the holy fire. Because if you're not right with the Lord, Yeshua, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have a strange fire. Consume the two sons of Aaron, and it's going to consume the world. First time was by flood, water. This time it's going to be by fire. Our relationship to our mate, I want you to know, Lynette and I had 7.5 years of fire because we didn't have God in our marriage. And I will illustrate that very quickly from the Hebrew text of the name of Yahweh, man, woman, and fire. And I will demonstrate that and illustrate that to you. Please look at the overhead. This is Yahweh in the Hebrew language. This is man called Ish. This is woman called Isha. And this is fire. As you can see, that God took the first letter of His holy name and placed it right in the middle of the man. And took the second letter and placed it right there. And if you take God out of marriage, 1 and 2, you have left with 2 letters in the man and the woman. In the Hebrew, it is called Esh, which means fire. You take God out of marriage, you have fire. In this last days, as we stand at the tremendous events that are taking place right now in the world, we have hundreds of thousands of troops in the Middle East right now. At the last days, all nations will come against Israel. All nations. Doesn't say exclude America. It says all nations. So pray for the nation of America. Pray for the nation of Israel. Because when you see Jewish people coming to know their Lord and Messiah, Yeshua, you know that your salvation and redemption is near. I didn't say that. The Bible did. And this is a spiritual war. You're dealing with fire. As a fighter in Israel, I was taught how to deal with fire. Every time I see an opposition, I grab the Uzi, shift it into automatic, gun it down. But at this spiritual war, when I stand in the streets of Los Angeles and Israel and preach and tell them about the Messiah, I take my Uzi with me. I have to. I know my people. And I brought it with me to show you. It's in Hebrew called shofar, ram's horn. So I say, shofar so good. Hallelujah.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I believe that You died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto You. And thank You, Lord, for Your gift of eternal life. And I receive You this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God. And in His eyes, you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. If Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.
If you would like to correspond to with Abner Shor, that's A-M-N-O-N, his last name S-H-O-R, his mailing address is P.O. Box 7652, Fresno, California, zip 93747. God bless you now. Goodbye.